Number one talk station 99.3 Nigeria Info. We're broadcasting live from Etim Inyang Crescent, Victoria Island, here in Lagos, the economic backbone of the entire country. This morning on the Crossfire, it's Wednesday, by the way. We'll be welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. I'm Sheriff Quadri. This morning, we'll be looking at the nation's economy for the year 2023. That's what we'll be looking at on the show this morning. Nigeria launched into the year 2023 on a worrisome debt profile with the news that President Muhammadu Buhari may be leaving behind 77 trillion naira in debt as he finishes his tenure in May. The Debt Management Office, DMO, on Wednesday, January 4th, during a public presentation on the 2023 budget, disclosed that the current outgoing administration will leave a debt stock of over 77 trillion naira for the incoming government from the current debt of 44.06 trillion naira as of the third quarter of 2022. Earlier on December 9, the Debt Management Office, DMO, in a press statement on its website, revealed that, and I quote, "The increase in the debt stock was largely due to new borrowings by the federal government to part finance the deficit in the 2022 Appropriation Act, as well as new borrowings by subnationals." Well, similar to DMO's submission, Lagos, please come along, follow me, just follow me. Now, similar to DMO's submission at the budget breakdown on January the 4th, was that of the Finance Minister Zainab Ahmed, who said Nigeria is not planning on restructuring its debt, as it remains committed to meeting its domestic and external debt obligations. According to her, domestic debt gulped 2.51 trillion, foreign debt 1.08 trillion, and interest on ways and means 1.64 trillion. In her words, the actual spending as of November 30 was 12.87 trillion. Of this amount, 5.24 trillion was for debt service, 5.24 trillion. 3.94 trillion for personnel costs, including pensions, statutory transfers, overhead, and the, if you like, service-wide votes expenditure totaled in 1.81 trillion. And 1.88 billion naira was released for capital expenditure, just 1.88 billion. President Muhammadu Buhari, last week, January 3, requested the National Assembly to reconsider. 2 weeks ago, I should say, to reconsider its position on its request to pay an outstanding 22.7 trillion naira to the CBN borrowed through Ways and Means. I mean, we're going to touch on that Ways and Means conversation, you know, very soon. And I have quite a number of figures and data that I have for you this morning. But let me not keep my guests waiting for any longer. Let's just jump right into it. I have joining me on the show Dr. Muda Yusuf, the founder and CEO of Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprises, CPPE. He's also the former DG of Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Dr. Muda Yusuf, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the program this morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Now, let's start this way. Let's start from my intro, which is, of course, the current debt profile, the 7 trillion naira that we currently are dealing with. Dr. Muda Yusuf, please enlighten us. How will this impact, the economic outlook of Nigeria for the year 2023, having it in mind that we're going to have transition in government this year? How will this impact the economy if we look at our debt stock currently? Or there won't be any connection at all?
Of course, there will be a connection. The debt level is quite worrisome. And this is going to be a major legacy for the incoming administration. The first is that even in the budget, I mean, a provision of 6.3 trillion was made for the servicing of debt. You know, and when you have a budget of about 21.8 trillion, and you are spending 6.31 trillion to service debt, That is quite significant. It's almost, surpassing what you are spending on capital expenditure. And at the close of the year, we may be spending to service debt the amount that could possibly equal or even surpass the revenue. In other words, the debt service to revenue ratio will be getting close to between 80 to 100%. And the implication of that is that all the revenue that you earn will almost completely go into servicing debt. And that also has the further implication of the fact that all the key expenditures, recurrent, capital, personnel, and the rest of them will again have to be funded by borrowing. Because it's like, creating a vicious cycle of borrowing. Secondly, it has implications for, the capacity of the government to fund other critical things. Because each time there is a fiscal or revenue challenge, it is the capital project that suffers the most. Most times, you'll be able to, people find a way to spend on personnel, overhead, and all of that. But when there is a fiscal crisis, it is the capital project that suffers, particularly infrastructure. And for an economy that is struggling with productivity and all of that, investing in infrastructure is very key.
Do we currently have fiscal crisis?
Yes, we know that the private sector can play some role, but the government has a bigger role to play in fixing infrastructure and investing in infrastructure.
Dr. Muda, before we move on, you mentioned fiscal crisis. We'll come to your second point now. Are we currently in fiscal crisis?
Of course we are. We're in a very serious crisis. When you look at the debt and you look at our capacity to fund the debt, because the issue now is not so much about the size of the debt, but what capacity do we have? If you are spending 80%, close to 100% of your revenue to service debt, then it's a major crisis. And to deal with this crisis, you either do something drastic on your revenue side, or you do something drastic on revenue, on the expenditure side, or both. So that is it. So if you have a situation where you are spending, because we are getting almost into what you can call a debt trap. Because if you are borrowing heavily to service debt, you now continue to borrow again to be able to sustain the operations of government. So it's already a crisis. So whoever takes over will have to come with a very robust strategy on how to deal with this crisis. Both from the revenue standpoint and from the expenditure standpoint.
And that's where I want to come in next, because I remember very vividly when this current government, anytime they want to go and borrow money, they kept saying that we did not have debt problem. We have revenue problem. Dr. Muda Yusuf, from your wealth of experience, is that still the situation? Because from what we are now seeing now, it's looking as though we may have that problem. But then, what do I know? You're the expert. Do you agree with them that we don't still have debt problem? We have revenue problem instead.
When you are struggling to service your debt, obviously you have a debt problem, because you need revenue to service the debt. So if you have a challenge on the revenue side, you are struggling to service the debt, then of course you have a debt problem. I think they are related. I don't think we can separate having a revenue problem from having a debt problem. It's like you are owing somebody money, you are struggling to pay or you cannot pay, and you are saying that you don't have a debt problem. What you have is a revenue problem. So I think it's playing with words. But the truth is that we have problems on both sides. Problem on the way we spend, and problem on our capacity to generate revenue. Because as we speak, the revenue base in this economy is still extremely narrow. The pressure of taxes is on the very few people, the very few corporate organizations and people who are salary workers on payroll. Those are the people who are carrying the burden of taxation in this economy today. So we need a strategy that will broaden the tax base. Because I can see that even in the current budget and looking at the finance bill, government is getting a lot more bullish about driving for revenue. And this drive for revenue is putting additional pressure on those who are already in the tax net. You know, and if you're not careful, excessive pressure on those who are already in the tax net, who are essentially corporates, could affect productivity, it could affect investment, could affect the capacity to create jobs. You know, so we need to review the whole strategy of our drive for revenue. And many of the government institutions have almost turned themselves now to revenue generating agencies. Any institution that they have powers over or they are regulating, they impose a whole lot of fees, levies, and things on them. In addition to the regular taxes that they pay.
Dr. Muda, is generation really our problem, or accountability, or corruption? Remember the issue of stamp duty fee and all of that. This one collected this one did not account for this. Who spent it? Who did not spend it? Exactly what is our problem, Dr. Muda? Please explain to Lagos this morning. We the fuel that we've generated, have we been able to maximally, optimally utilize, and have we been able to account for the usage of these monies that we've been able to generate thus far? Is generation our problem, or management of resources?
It's a combination. It's a combination of all these factors. It's a combination of the capacity to generate revenue. Because if you look at the budget, we are talking about close to 22 billion, I mean trillion budget.
Right.
And if you look at the size of our economy, the economy is over 200 trillion. You know, when you relate the public expenditure, even at the federal level, or even at the states, to the size of the economy, clearly the government is even spending enough. Because if you have this size of economy, you have this size of population, for you to feel the impact of government, the level of expenditure must be much higher. So that means that we are not extracting sufficient value from the economy to support the economy. That is one. Secondly, I agree with you, even the amount that has been realized, that's a major challenge with the quality of public expenditure. And the evidence is all over, it's all around us. The way people spend money and all the evidence that we have seen in terms of corruption, I mean, running into billions. I mean, you look at the case of the Accountant General, for instance, even though it's still an allegation, but at least you can see the kind of mind-boggling numbers that you are talking about. And that is just one case that has just come to light. There are several, for every one that comes to light, there are several, almost 10 or more, that are still not out there in the public space. You know? So there's a major issue with accountability, with the quality of government expenditure. I mean, look at even responses to Auditor General's query. I mean, how many of those queries have been properly followed up and answered? Sometimes you feel the frustration of even the Auditor General himself. So there are issues of accountability.
Right.
But again, there are also issues about harnessing the resources in this economy to be able to do more. Because we are not attracting enough investment. And you need the right kind of policies, the right kind of regulations, and all of that to be able to attract a lot more investment. Because there's a correlation between investment growth and revenue growth. So some of these policies are also frustrating investment. And generally, when you also talk about outlook, because this is also critical.
That's right.
We're in 2023, we should begin to look at what are the key elements of risk that businesses will face in 2023, being a transition year. Because transition year typically comes with some risk. That's what you call political risk. The new leadership could change things that could, you know, derail some investments. That's what you call policy risk. If you have a change of government, policies can change. Then there's also the risk of the post-election crisis. You can see that the electoral space or the political space is getting heated up.
It's charged. That's right.
It's really charged. And the competition has not been this intense, because the outcomes is not clear to anybody. So So when you have this kind of situation, it has also a lot of implications for investors. There's a whole lot of uncertainty. And this is a time for investors also to be very cautious in entering into long-term transactions with governments or government projects. Because we have seen cases where, because there was a change of government, a change of ministers, people were not paid. So this is the time to also manage risk. I'm talking now on the part of investors.
Investors, that's right.
Now, yes, those things matter. Then, of course, we talk about the macroeconomic environment, which part of which you already talked about. One of the biggest challenges we faced in 2022 was inflation. Now, will the situation get better in 2023? Not quite. Because the key drivers of inflation, namely one, the exchange rate situation, I don't see that changing significantly. Because don't forget, this government will remain from now till at least May.
That's right.
So most of the challenges around inflation, of course, exchange rates, policy and all of that are part of it. Those things are not likely to change significantly. Then we have the challenge of high energy cost. It is also a major component of inflation. This is being driven first by the exchange rate situation, the challenges in Ukraine and Russia. And if you look at what is going on in Ukraine, the situation is not looking as if
it's not
something that is getting even more intense. So for as long as that crisis remains, the inflationary effect of the crisis is likely to also be with us, at least for most part of this year. So we need to brace up. Then the waste and means is also a major factor. Even though the National Assembly is still struggling with the accumulated waste and means, the constitutionality of it, the infraction by the infraction of the CBN Act and all of that, they are still dealing with that. That's also a major issue. But again, the president has said that the supplementary project will have to be funded largely from waste and means. And waste and means is highly inflationary because of the injection of liquidity into the economy.
Right.
When I say liquidity, I mean the injection of money.
Money, that's right.
Into the economy. Right. And in the economy, sometimes we even call it inflation tax. When the CBN is providing this kind of financing. Because the financing, rather than being a short-term overdraft or short-term financing,
right,
it's already becoming a major revenue stream for government, which is why the thing has grown to 22.7 trillion. Which is something that is extremely serious. We have the cost of diesel and all of that. All those things are not likely to abate in the near term. So the inflation outlook, the exchange rate outlook, for as long as the CBN remains with its policy,
right,
and that policy is not likely to change, this policy of administrative allocation, this wide gap between the official window and the parallel market, the multiple exchange rates and all of that, for as long as that remains, the distortions in the foreign exchange market will also continue to remain with us. Because I don't see the CBN shifting ground and between now and when we have the next administration.
Dr. Mudaisi, before you move on, I want to stay with you on the CBN. How the economy has performed in the last 2 years, would you say the CBN, the leadership of Governor Gordon Efie, has managed the policies of the CBN pretty well, and this has impacted on the economy pretty well? Have they been able to, correct me if I'm wrong, we've entered into two recessions under this current CBN dispensation of Godwin Emefiele. Has he and his team managed the monetary policy very well? Or satisfactorily? Put it that way.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. We must acknowledge what the CBN had done in the area of development finance.
Okay.
Because I know that quite a number of companies who ordinarily cannot get very good credit terms were able to take advantage of the development finance window. Of course, there are issues with it, especially when you talk about the anchor borrowers program and all of that.
Mm.
But for the mainstream manufacturing industry, some manufacturers benefited from it.
Mm.
And they acknowledge that it impacted well, because they got long-term finance of almost 9 years. They got single-digit interest rate, which was positive.
Mm.
But the impact was not that significant because not many people benefited from that.
Mm.
But on the larger issue of the foreign exchange management, the CBN has not done well at all. And I say that because foreign exchange has a systemic effect on the economy. It has implications for investments. You can see that investment is not coming into the economy. We have seen large-scale corruption in the foreign exchange market, which has been created by these multiple windows and the wide gap, all sorts of arbitrage in the foreign exchange window.
Mm.
There's also revenue effect. If the CBN is putting annually an average of maybe $18 billion in the foreign exchange market, and the CBN is selling it at 435 or 440, imagine what the government is losing in terms of revenue.
Mm. Mm.
Because at the end of the day, the end users are paying 600, 650, 700.
Even as high as 700, yes.
So we are replicating the fuel subsidy corruption. Mm. We are replicating it in the foreign exchange market. So just as you have a very damaging fuel subsidy, you have a very damaging foreign exchange subsidy. So the government is losing a whole lot of money. I mean, if we price the foreign exchange properly and remove that subsidy, the government can get additionally minimum 2 trillion naira annually.
Dr. Muda,
and there's a government that is complaining about
revenue problem. Dr. Muda, let's pause here. We need to take this break now, yeah? When we return, we'll talk some more. Lagos, please do join us again. We'll be back.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos, Nigeria. Welcome back to the program. This morning we're looking at the economic outlook for Nigeria in the year 2023. It's a very strategic year for Nigeria. That's why this conversation is very, very important. You know that 2 weeks ago we spoke about how you can cope with possible economic discomfort that you may feel this year, and today we're talking strict economy this year, and we'll also later on touch on how all of these things that Dr. Muda Yusuf has said this morning would affect your pocket, what it means, what it translates into in your individual economy. We'll try and touch on that. If you're joining us right now, you're welcome to Morning Crossfire. Dr. Muda Yusuf is a founder and CEO, Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprise, CPPE, and he's also the former DG, Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry. He joins me on the show this morning. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. If you got questions for my guest, you can send them in via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 0859975805 on WhatsApp, or just call the studio and we'll take your thoughts, and we're looking forward to hearing from you any particular economy questions. Feel free to drop them in. The numbers, you know them too well. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-71904 for the ladies. Dr. Muda Yusuf, thank you again for giving us your time this morning to talk Nigeria, to talk economy. Thank you again, sir.
Thank you.
Let's start this round before we start taking in calls. You know, in the first part of the show, we started with debt, Nigeria's debt profile. And that is very instructive because, look, we're in an election year. A new government will be coming in. What would you advise should be expedient for a new government to do once they come in? Because, yes, we are not at 77 trillion yet. But the fact is, we'll get to 77 trillion by the time we are transitioning into a new government. First is that, what is expedient for the new government to do in terms of debt management? Because our current finance minister, Zainab Ahmed, said that we are not restructuring our debt. And first, is that even is that a good strategy?
No, I don't think so. If we have a situation where the debt is debt service commitment, largely interest payments, is almost wiping out your entire revenue, then I think it is not out of place to be talking about restructuring the debt, at least as a short term, to provide some short term relief and to provide some breathing space for the economy, and to avoid a situation where we don't, overburden the economy with further borrowing and further crowding out of the private sector in the financial markets. So restructuring the debt, reviewing some of the terms, is not out of place. And I think it should be one of the options on the table. Secondly, is for whichever government that comes in to quickly accelerate on some reforms. The energy sector reform is very key. We have been talking about fuel subsidy and all of that. I mean, by the end of the year, if you continue with this trajectory of subsidy, you will have spent over 6 trillion naira. Now, it is not the full benefit of the subsidy that is going to those who consume PMS. We have had stories of people in the East, South, where currently they are buying fuel at 400, over 400 naira per liter.
True.
And yet, this component of fuel that they buy also has a subsidy component. So somebody is scooping, screaming this subsidy. So we need to reform that so that we can create some savings. So if you have that kind of savings, that will help. Now, the government is doing quite a lot, and this should be accelerated by whoever comes in, about our losses to oil theft.
Okay.
Now, I was just reading in some report recently that we are now number one, at least as of December, in terms of oil output. We are now doing over a million barrels per day. So if it brings some sanity into the oil production space, that will give us some breathing space as well, especially from the foreign exchange perspective, foreign exchange earnings and revenue.
Right.
Because the economy has been bleeding seriously on account of the kind of impunity, the kind of theft and things that have been happening in the upstream sector. Then the regulatory environment around our oil and gas sector must be such that we're able to attract more investment and support those who are already investors in that space. We can still get a whole lot of value to this economy if you manage that space properly, in terms of governance, in terms of policies, in terms of regulations. We have lost vital investors just because of the way we are managing the space and the way that the place almost became completely ungoverned, insecurity and all of that. And these are things that is not beyond us to do. If we're able to do that, we can get a lot of relief, both from the downstream oil sector and from the upstream. And we'll be able to attract more investment. Look at the downstream sector. It's almost completely dominated by NNPC, which is a state-owned organization. And you know what it is when bureaucrats and politicians are managing an enterprise. Private investors are not there. We have a monopoly situation. That is why we are having all these queues and all of that in spite of all the efforts. These problems will not go away unless we take some fundamental decisions to reform the sector. And I want to appeal at this point to labor and to the civil society organizations. They should please allow the government to reform the oil and gas sector. They should allow the subsidy to go so that we can bring some sanity into that sector. Of course, we have to hold government accountable, but we need to reform the place because this economy has suffered enough because of the bad governance of the oil and gas sector. Then we need to reform the foreign exchange policy. One of the biggest things or the biggest harm that has been done to this economy by the Central Bank of Nigeria is its foreign exchange policy. It has made investment very difficult for people who want to come in. I mean, look at the embarrassment we have suffered, even for investors that are here. They cannot repatriate their funds. IATA was reporting the other day that Nigeria is number one in terms of countries where airlines cannot repatriate their receipts. Their own airlines, almost $500 million. I mean, if we know that we have challenges globally and all, but we are not the only country. How must it be Nigeria that is carrying that kind of reputational problem? All of these are consequences of distortions in the foreign exchange market. And so for some strange reasons, the CBN has remained very rigid. And we have now created a paradise for those who are doing round tripping, those who are moving funds from one place to the other and all of that, all sorts of corruption. And on top of it, it has a major investment effect. Foreign direct investors are not coming in. Foreign portfolio investors are not coming in because of the way we are managing the foreign exchange market. So for some reasons, the government is not likely to change this position. So our expectation is that by the time we have a new government, this should be top on the agenda.
Okay.
So that it has a revenue effect. More revenue will come in. Because now we are throwing away our forex with huge subsidy. It has an investment effect. It has an effect on even our foreign exchange reserves and all of that. So reforming the foreign exchange space should also be a priority. Then we need to reform the budget system itself. I mean, you can see all the stories about budget padding, duplication of projects in the budget, you know, all sorts of stories. So there are issues of capacity as to preparation of the budget. There are transparency issues around the budget and all of that. Earlier, you talked about the quality of financial management.
Right.
That should also be top on the agenda. Then we need to reform the tax system. Currently, the rich are not paid as much as they should pay. The bulk of the tax is on those who are investors. Our billionaires, I mean, we probably have the highest number of billionaires in Africa. I mean, you see mansions around you all over the place. But they are talking of Lekki, Ikoyi, or Abuja, everywhere. How many of them are paying taxes? How much are they paying? People are flying private jets all over the place.
That's a fair point.
It's not as if they have a manufacturing or any investment. How much taxes are they paying? So we need to reform the tax environment. So we reduce the pressure on those who are investing so that they can grow the economy. And look at all these people, high-end people who are flying private jets and, you know, all sorts of, get them into the tax net. That is very important. So these are some of the things that we need to do, at least immediately when we have a new administration, so that all these challenges, because if we're able to fix the economy,
right,
investments will improve. Revenue will also ultimately improve. And all this problem with expenditure and all of that, if you bring a lot more discipline into the space, some of those things will also be reduced. So these are the things that we need to do to be able to reset the economy. We need to address policy issues. We need to spend properly. Right now, percentage of our spending on infrastructure, I'm not sure, is up to 10 or 15%. Because it is not all capital components of the budget that is spending on infrastructure. People buy computers, they buy SUVs and all of that. Those things are also part of capital expenditure. So we need to do a lot more in investing in infrastructure so that we can create the space for productivity to improve.
Right, right.
Also, to reform our electricity sector. We don't have enough investment in electricity. So some reform needs to take place. Of course, people are resisting high tariff and all of that, but we need to ensure that we have proper governance in the electricity sector. But we also need to ensure that those who are investors in that space are able to recoup their investment.
Dr. Muda, let me Let's take one or two calls, because I also need us to, I'm glad that we are able to, you know, give an agenda for the incoming administration. But I would also like for us to touch on how what we have talked about all morning, how it affects the pockets of the Nigerian listening to us right now, and what they can prepare for, which is very, very important, their own personal economy that they can, you know, be ready for. We'll pivot this off of what the IMF projected, you know, that one third of the world will slip into recession this year, 2023. Nigeria is not immune to what is happening in the global economy, even though the same IMF said that we are good to go at 3.0 growth rate. But then, is that sufficient enough for an average Nigerian to say that, you know, this may not affect us? Don't forget the inflation story that we mentioned earlier as well. Let's take one or two calls, Dr. Muda Yusuf, then we'll come to the issue of individual economy. Lagos, please turn off your radio, and please do help us manage the time pretty well by going straight to the point, okay? Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Okay, yeah, your resource person has been talking about the disadvantages of subsidy. Now, subsidy was taken away from diesel and kerosene, and Nigerians are buying them at a very exorbitant price. So right now, to me, I would not want them to take off subsidy right now if the refineries are not working, because if the refineries are not working, we do not have much of exchange rate, it will still come at a very high cost. And Nigerians will still be paying more money. We know the fuel affects every
thank you, Joy.
Of our economy.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for your thought. Appreciate it. Dr. Yusuf, you heard what she said. The fear of, because when you remove subsidy, that means you're subjecting the spending on subsidy to international global price manipulations. And how can the local Nigerian afford that, looking at what the price of kerosene is saying right now and the price of diesel is saying right now? And she's saying, why not fix the refineries first?
Well, it's a cost-benefit thing, because right now the economy is bleeding profusely. And if you don't want this economy to go down completely, one of the things that we need to do is to put an end to this subsidy thing. But there has to be complementary policies. First, we need to encourage local refining, which, of course, there's some progress around that. Dangote, some government refine. But more importantly, is to remove the monopoly components of this either importation or production of petroleum products. The situation is this bad because there's no competition. NNPC is the only supplier of petroleum products. So if we are removing the subsidy, we must also improve the governance of that space. We must create a level playing field so that individuals and companies that have the capacity either to produce or to import will be able to do so. Then we must address the issue of our foreign exchange. I have spoken extensively on what we need to do about foreign exchange.
Right.
So these policies will have to go together. Because if you don't deal with this subsidy problem, the damage to the economy will be phenomenal. But we need to hold government accountable to ensure that you don't remove subsidy and still create a monopoly situation. What we are suffering from now is because we have a monopoly situation. And once you have monopoly, no matter how well you do, the chances of exploitation, the probability of exploitation is always extremely high, whether you are talking about oil or you are talking about any other service. So we must improve the competitiveness or competition framework in the oil and gas sector, particularly the downstream.
Right.
But if you have to suspend it, the crisis that we are having will continue. And I don't think this economy can afford this kind of thing.
And maybe this crisis would even be the child's play compared to what is to come, if that is not addressed very quickly. Dr. Yusuf, we have 2 minutes to go. What can you tell Nigerians, going by what I said earlier about global economic outlook for the year 2023? How should people, you know, brace up for this?
Well, what I can say is that the situation in 2022 was extremely bad. In 2023, I don't expect it to be worse than what we had in 2022 for a number of reasons. One, we are having a new administration. So at least that will be maybe at least in June. I expect some shifts in terms of the environment and in terms of the way we do things.
Mm.
That may bring some succor to the environment. But having said that, we need to continue to, brace up for the issues around the high inflation. This may not go away very quickly. So that will require resetting our priorities properly. We may have to deal with the contend with the issues of this exchange rate problem. And between now and May, when we have a new administration, the foreign exchange environment is likely to get better. Then, of course, from the business side, we also need to ensure that we plan properly. We do some scenario planning, depending on which candidate emerges, what kind of policy outcomes do we expect. So that will help our business strategy.
Right.
We also need to focus on cutting costs. That is very key. We need to understand our consumer preferences, because preferences and priorities of consumers are changing because of the prevailing macroeconomic environment. So anybody in business must follow through to understand the changing pattern of consumer preferences,
issues
of the purchasing power, and all of that.
Dr. Muda,
these are things that we can do at the level of business.
Fantastic. Let's leave it there for now. I think we've done extremely well. We've done justice to this topic this morning. No thanks to you for coming through with your word of experience that I don't take for granted for anything. Dr. Muda Yusuf, thank you so much for joining me on the show this morning.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Muda Yusuf is a founder and CEO, Center for the Promotion of Private Enterprises, CPPE. He was a former DG, Lagos Chamber of Commerce and Industry. That's our show.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back. Hola, we tell us.
All out.